Well, hey, folks. Hey, Adam back here again. Welcome, Cop Church. If you are a cop and you are tuning into this, thank you for your service. Hey, today, the day that I'm recording this is September 11th. This is the 20-year anniversary of the horrific events from 2001. I remember that day. I was sitting in school. Actually, I saw the whole thing start when I got up in the morning. It was on TV, unusual. I don't need to go into all that as far as where I was and everything, but, you know, we all have our own stories, especially us, you know, old guys. But anyhow, so thank you for your service, any cops and firefighters or, hey, military that had to help out with that. I know that was a thing too. So today I want to talk about a story that I've really been chewing a lot on from the Bible. And I don't say story as if it's something that is fiction. I say story because it's a passage from the Bible. Maybe we should call it history. Okay. A lesson out of history from the Bible. Okay. This comes from Daniel chapter 3. Many of you are probably familiar with this passage. It is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think it's also about Daniel too. And we'll get into that here in just a second. So before that, let's get into a little bit of background here. The country of Judah, okay? Israel was originally one country. It split into Israel and Judah. Tribes went their separate ways. And here's Judah, the country that had the temple. And they were involved in a lot of sin over the years. Most notably, in my opinion, idolatry, number one. And as a part of that idolatry, child sacrifice. Not cool. Very uncool. And when it talks about child sacrifice, God even says in the book of Jeremiah, this is something that I never commanded you to do, nor did it even come into my mind. You know, this is something that's so vile. I would have never even thought of such a thing. And yet here we find the chosen people involved in such a thing. And you know what? We're no better as a society now. Look at our sins, what we're involved in, idolatry, child sacrifice. I think you know what I'm talking about. So anyway, as a result of that, God's favor was removed from that land. And he told them, hey, you are going to be invaded by the Babylonian army. And sure enough, it came to pass. Nobody really listened to Jeremiah, which is fairly typical when you have bad news. Nobody wants to hear about it, especially if it hasn't come to pass yet. I mean, you're living life. Life is good. Hey, just so you all know, something bad is coming. Well, it's pretty easy to ignore that and just go along with your daily life. But in this case, as God told Jeremiah, and as Jeremiah prophesied, it came to pass. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, his army invaded, took many people captive, slaughtered many people as well. But among those taken captive were four guys named Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, those aren't their original Hebrew names, except Daniel. Daniel is his Hebrew name. But the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were given to them by the Babylonians. Their names were changed. And the Bible speaks of, you know, the name being the character. Well, as part of the conquering army, of course, they wanted to rid them of their heritage and enforce their own heritage on them. So, of course, they changed their names. But so they actually changed Daniel's name to Belteshazzar, I think is how you say it. But for purposes of this story, he's better known to us as Daniel. And for some reason, we know the other three guys by their Babylonian names. I don't know why. That's just how we do it. So there's a little bit of the background for you, okay? These four guys were brought into Babylon, and it was, I guess, revealed to the king or to his officials that these four guys, well, the Bible says they were good looking. They had some wisdom, so they were no dummies. They were decent looking, not dummies. And so the king there, Nebuchadnezzar, he decided these guys are going to go into service for me. Why not? He took the best and he put them into his service, and God blessed them. And through chapters 1 and 2 of Daniel, the king there, Nebuchadnezzar, he understood that the favor of God was upon these guys. Mm-hmm. And so they were given positions of prominence within his kingdom. But now we come to this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this golden statue that's being built. Now, I'm going to paraphrase most of this for time's sake. I recommend you get into this story, read it slowly, and then read it again and really chew on it, because I'm going to give you a lot to think about here, I hope. Maybe you already know this stuff. But here's what went down. King Nebuchadnezzar decides that he wants a statue built, a statue to honor himself. And so here goes this statue of him. It says King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high, 6 cubits wide. So I've heard Bible scholars say that it's also 6 cubits in length. So like the base was a sort of a square, 6 cubits by 6 cubits, 60 cubits high. Why is that significant? Well, 666, right? Biblically speaking, the number 6 is the number of man, the number of the flesh. So here we have King Nebuchadnezzar building a statue that uses these numbers of the flesh, okay, to honor himself. Now, a cubit is about fingertip to elbow, so probably about 18 inches. So they say it's probably about 90 feet high, 9 wide, 9 deep. Not that that matters a whole lot, but along we go here. Now, I want to point out that even though the section talking about this idol, essentially this statue being built, is only a few verses long, if that. I mean, it describes it very quickly. And then the rest is the story of the worship of this. And so I think it's pretty easy for us to say, boy, that went up quick. Didn't even see that coming, didn't have any time to prepare for any of that. But I think, if we think about it, we can understand that that's just not true. So I would venture to bet that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were probably all watching the construction of this 90-foot-high golden statue, pure gold, 90 feet high. I'll bet that they were watching that take place for months, watching this thing be built up layer by layer by layer by layer, or maybe in a mold. I don't know how it would have been built. Maybe it's horizontal. Maybe it's on the ground, and then once it's built, they lift it up. I don't know. Regardless, I'm sure that this was a very extended project. Nobody wanted to mess this up, because you mess one thing up and the king can have your head. That's just how things were back then. A lot of places, I'm sure that's how things are today. So the point I want to make is these guys saw this coming. They knew, I guarantee you, they knew that this was no ordinary statue, nothing to laugh about. They knew that something bad was coming with this. And they had firsthand experience with this, right? After all, why were they in Babylon to begin with? Idol worship, right? That was a huge part of why they were there. And so they knew the price of it. They were already in captivity. So you think they wanted to continue with that? Now, these were men that actually honored God. Now, I don't know if they did prior to the exile. I think maybe they did, but the Bible doesn't say exactly, so I'm not going to make my own assumptions. That wouldn't be very, very wise. But regardless, I can guarantee you that these guys saw this thing being built, and they knew something bad was coming. And so once it's finished, it's upright, King Nebuchadnezzar gives an order to his officials. And the officials, of course, gather all of the, you know, the higher-ups. It says prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, satraps, basically all the officials, right? All the king's men and maybe women. I don't know. But he gathers them all up. They're all to come together before this statue. And when they hear the music, and it describes the different instruments in here that are going to be played, but when they hear the music, they're all to bow down and worship this statue under threat of death. If they don't bow down and worship this thing, they are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Not a very pleasant way to die, I'm sure. So, moving forward, everybody's gathered together, the command's been given, and the music plays. Everybody, almost everybody, bows down and worships this idol. But there are three guys who don't do that: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refuse to bow down and worship this thing. And, of course, there's somebody out there that decides the king needs to know about this, right? So, this fellow tells the king, these three guys, they refuse to bow down and worship. So, this part's interesting to me. It says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. So he is very unhappy. And moving along here. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?" Don't worship my gods. Okay, so apparently maybe there was a little more to it than just this particular idol. "Now when you hear the sound of the," and I'll spare you the instruments here, "the music, if you are ready, fall down and worship the image I made. Then it'll be very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Now this is key. Here's the response from these guys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." So there's some faith. Not giving God an out, but just saying, we know that our God has the ability to save us. But if he doesn't, we are still not going to worship your statue. Saying that we know that we're only supposed to worship the Lord God in heaven. So what does he do? This really ticks him off. Okay, people do not talk back to the king. Okay, this is a king that has massive property now. I mean, we're talking, you know, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, you know, present day, all these nations, and now Israel, right? All these Judah, I should say, all these nations now belong to King Nebuchadnezzar, and here these three little pipsqueaks are talking back to him. So he's pretty ticked off, right? And he tells his soldiers, "Stoke that fire 7 times hotter. 7 times hotter. 7, biblically speaking, is the number of completion. On the 7th day, God rested." So that's what they do. They stoke this fire 7 times hotter. So hot, in fact, that when the soldiers throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are bound in ropes, into that fire. The soldiers die as a result of the heat coming off of that furnace. But if you've heard this story before, you know this is where it gets really good. Because suddenly Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and he says, hold on a second. Didn't we, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, this isn't, I don't think he said hold on. Hold on a second. Didn't we throw 3 men into that fire? And of course they, yes, king, of course you are right. Of course you are right. And he says, I see 4 men. And the 4th looks like the Son of Man or Son of the Gods. Depends on the translation, okay? So here we see in the midst of the fire, these 3 men, and there's a 4th man. And this, there's something different about this 4th man. And indeed, there is something different about this 4th man. This is an Old Testament appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, often called the angel of the Lord, okay? They call it a Christophany. So here we see the Lord Jesus in the midst of the fire with these men. Now, Jesus would later say in his earthly form, I will never leave you or forsake you. It is as true today as it was back then. Even more so, having been filled with the Holy Spirit for those who are believers. So, Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here. So, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and all the officials saw them. They gathered around. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Only 3 came out of the fire this time. The 4th didn't have to walk out. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Then he gives a decree that that his people are to honor their God. Now, there's more to this story. I mentioned in the beginning a guy named Daniel, didn't I? Where was Daniel? This story carries with it a lot of symbolism. And what I want you to take away from this are a couple things, okay? Yes, indeed, God is with us in our time of fiery trials. In fact, our previous podcast is titled something to do with a fiery trial, okay? But there's more to it than that. Daniel is a picture of the church. Daniel, at the point where everyone is required to pay homage, to worship this beast of an idol, and I use that word for a reason, this beast of an idol, Daniel's nowhere to be found. I have heard some predict that he was with the king, lifted up Nebuchadnezzar, but we don't want to make an assumption here. So, regardless, Daniel wasn't there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, pictures of Israel, had to go through the fire 7 times hotter. What do I mean? In the end of days, there will be this beast that's being built. I believe we're watching that beast being built today. Through many different means. And if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see what I'm talking about. Or later on in the book of Daniel. This is a great book to get into and study. It's incredibly rich with prophecy. And the seven times hotter fire speaks of the 7-year tribulation, okay? So this beast system that is being built up, eventually, it's going to be complete. And there will be those that will be required to submit to it. Now there is coming a mark, eventually, that will be required. It's not here yet. Or if it is, it's not being utilized yet. And if I read correctly, it may not be until, you know, like the 3.5-year mark or somewhere around there during the tribulation. Regardless, it will not be instituted until the tribulation period. That's neither here nor there, because as believers, we won't be here, because we, like Daniel, escaped the beast. Or we will escape the coming beast, the 666 system. Can't talk good tonight. Bear with me. So, this is God's amazing grace. As Daniel was taken up and relieved from this trial, the church will also receive relief from the coming beast system trial. But there are those who are not believers in Christ who, in the midst of the fiery trial, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, they will find Christ. He'll be there with them in the midst of this tribulation. And we read in Revelation that the nation of Israel will actually escape. Many believe it's to a city called Petra. It's carved out of rock. In fact, people believe that so strongly that over the years there have been groups that have secretly planted Bibles in that area, and that the Jews will be protected when there. So you can see that we have hope now as we go through our own fiery trials. We have this hope that Christ will be with us in the midst of them. And I can tell you from personal experience, He is. He is definitely more with us and more real in the midst of a fiery trial than I have ever felt Him in the midst of pleasures. And we also have hope that, like Daniel, that we will escape that seven times hotter tribulation, that 7-year tribulation. If we will hold fast to Him, not deny Him, and not bow down to the beast system that's coming. So with that in mind, a quick prayer for you. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray for the listeners today. I ask for patient endurance for the saints, Lord, as it says in Revelation, and that You will count them worthy to escape the tribulations that are coming. Lord, I ask that in the meantime, that there would be such close fellowship and such close relationship with them that You will be more real to them than ever before. That in the midst of their current trials and tribulations, that they will see Your faithfulness and they will be encouraged, and that they will find their hope there and nowhere else. Lord, this world is against us. It is 100% against us, but You are for us. And that's all we need. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, folks. Sorry that one went a little bit long, but there's just so much to that passage that I wanted to give it proper respect. Part two of this fire trial here with my friend Mike Glaser will be coming out here pretty quick. I hope you'll give that a listen. And otherwise, email us, call us, whatever it takes to help you to get through your trials. We're all going through it together. Tough times, crazy times. And don't turn to the world. Don't turn to the world, because the world hates you, but it hated Christ first. And as He said, He has already overcome the world. Okay. God bless. See you next week.